Good morning. It's great to be able to share with you this morning as we continue to review the vision and values of Unity Church. We've completed our initial reflections on the first two parts, namely, first of all, putting God first in passionate worship, putting Him first as we hunger God's word, and putting Him first as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, being devoted to church family, where everyone is valued, where we grow together, and where we have gracious relationships. This morning we move on to the third main section, and that's focused around serving our community and beyond. Dave kindly set the scene earlier in our meeting together when he asked two questions. And these questions were, if you were setting up a new UK political party, what would you call it? I'm sure there have been some interesting ideas, but if I was setting up a new political party, I would call it the Servant Party, because I believe that politicians are there to serve. I love it that in our society we call people that work for government public servants and civil servants. And I believe that our politicians are there to serve, rather than just be a people's party, that they are there to serve. And then Dave asked us, who serves the Ramsden Estate community? And I'm sure we shared huge numbers of people, from the wonderful group of shopkeepers that we have on Eldred Drive, to the local schools, the two primary schools, the secondary school, the utilities workers, the council workers, the housing association employees, the postman, okay, the medical workers at the doctor surgery and beyond, those that work in manor fields are serving this community. But obviously what we are focusing on this morning is that we, Unity Church, will seek to serve the community in which we've been placed, the Ramsden Estate. So this morning, we're considering the first value within the section, serving our community and beyond. And we're looking at the section, the value, loving the Ramsden Estate. We desire to bless others and make a positive impact on this community. The past year has been challenging for many, but for me it's been exciting. In many senses, my family joke that I've been getting out more during this pandemic than I had before. It's lovely for a family to sort of give that encouragement, but it has been the case. Because of Community Fridge and other things, I've been out visiting lots of suppliers, donors, but also visiting people on the estate, as well as meeting large numbers through the Community Fridge. And it's been great and exciting to have the opportunity to serve within our wonderful community. This morning we're going to be using Jeremiah chapter 29 verses 1 to 14 as the basis of our biblical consideration of this value. But before we actually read the passage, just a tiny bit of context. We have the situation where Jeremiah is writing to a large group of Jewish exiles. The Jewish people had sort of were in a sort of political flux, in that they'd basically put their money or whatever backing to following countries to the south, especially Egypt. But they, if you like, backed the wrong horse and were taken over by the Babylonians and had been experienced the taking of most of their leadership. Their young king and his queen, plus a lot of their leaders, had been taken and exiled to Babylon. And the passage that we're going to read is a letter from Jeremiah to the exiles, in which he expresses much of the Lord's words for them. And we're just going to read effectively about the first half of the letter. So in context, these people are in exile, but we're going to be thinking about them as scattered servants, servants of the Lord, people chosen by God to serve in this foreign land. So Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 to 14, if you want to follow in your Bibles. These are the words of the Lord, words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, and the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers, had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfil to you my promise, and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." This morning we're not going to focus on perhaps the most famous of the verses, which is often quoted and reflected on, verse 11, which we will mention later. But we're going to look at an earlier verse. We have a group of people, a large group of people, that have been exiled. They're out of their homeland. And it's possible for us to reflect on that, that we have been called by God, we are God's people. And we are, in one sense, exiled, in the sense that we should not just view where we live as our long-term living environment. We are people who have been chosen by God to be part of his people and to live in his nation. But the people weren't just exiled. They were given a clear instruction to set up home, to have families. And then we come to the key verse that I want us to reflect on together, which is verse 7. Because in this foreign land, the Lord says to these people, these exiles, "But seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." And that's the key verse, I believe, for us to take on board this morning. As we live as exiles in this world, we are still to take on board that verse. It would have been easy for those people that had been exiled to Babylon to have stayed in their small clique, in their small group, and to have been resentful and really annoyed that they had been exiled. It would have been easy for them to not seek to be an influence for God in that larger community, but to hive off and just to be their own little clique. But what does the Lord say? He says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you." God wanted them to seek good for the community into which he had placed them. God wanted them to be looking to actually be a positive, impactful group. How about us? Are we seeking the welfare of the Ramsden Estate? And yes, Orpington, but let's focus on the Ramsden Estate this morning. The challenge for us is to truly seek the welfare, the well-being of those in the small community in which we have been placed. But secondly, he goes on in that verse to say, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. Part of our loving is to actually be praying for the welfare and good well-being of the community in which he has placed us. And then finally, in that verse, he says, "For in its welfare, you will find your welfare." They would find fulfillment, they would find well-being in actually following through in seeking the well-being and welfare of that community. So we see within this verse almost a sort of cycle of serving, of praying, of loving or living, depending on how you look at it, that actually as they served and as they prayed for their community, so they would be fulfilled, they would find life in a greater fullness. They would know love as well. And I believe that this is a message for us as Unity Church, as we unpack and think about this value of serving the community in which we have been placed and loving the community of the Ramsden Estate and acting and making an impact. But I want to just consider a slight extra dimension. These servants of God in Jeremiah's time had been scattered dramatically. They were hundreds of miles from home in Jerusalem and Judah. They had been exiled and they were probably facing language problems and lots of other problems, perhaps diet problems and so on. And yet, they didn't live in a bubble. They were encouraged by the Lord to actually be scattered within that community, to actually broaden their influence and impact in that community. And I believe that's a word for us, that the Lord is saying to us at Unity that we should be seeking the welfare of the community, the estate, the town in which we've been placed. We should be praying for it, but that we should be scattered and we should not just be waiting for people to come into our Sunday meetings, waiting for them to come into our building necessarily. But instead, we should be scattered with and into the community. Early in this series on the vision and values for Unity, Dave recommended two books. One of which I have, being honest, half read. And that is the book called Scattered Servants. It's written by Alan Scott, who was a minister in a church in Northern Ireland. And it just talks about how it grew, but how it grew by being scattered servants in the community. And I want to just read a couple of short passages from the early sections, just to give you a flavour of what the book is about and what the challenge of the book is. And hopefully it will give you real inspiration as to the importance of us aiming to be scattered servants. So in the introduction, Alan writes, "It's impossible to reach our cities through better church services. While gathered environments such as Sunday services and small groups can grow the church, only scattered servants can bring life to broken cities. It is time to unlock kingdom identity, kingdom authority and kingdom ministry. It's time to unleash the power of everyone, everywhere, every day, so that the church begins to fill every city, every industry and every family with the beauty and story of Christ. If that's your hunger, I invite you to take the next step into the story. Join God on the journey of bringing life to your city. Demonstrate the power of God beyond the building. Discover the dreams that God has put in your heart for the sake of your city. Move on in your faith and move out in God's favour. Understand your identity and unlock your authority. Develop a faith that isn't just strong enough to survive culture, but that is bold enough to transform it. The dream of God over your life is not that you become a believer and help out your local church. The dream of God over your life is that you come alive in his presence and bring life to every environment, spilling contagious hope into hurting humanity." And then later on, really unpacking the idea of scattered servants and their impact on broken cities, Alan writes, "Life comes through scattered servants, whether young or old, or any age between. Our gatherings of believers grow the church. Scattered servants change the community. Broken cities need more than bigger churches. Broken cities need more than better services. Broken cities need a new reality, an alternative story. Broken cities don't just need culturally relevant churches. Broken cities need the church to show up beyond the building. Broken cities need tender hearts who show up with love and grace. We can't impress our cities into life, but we can immerse them in the life to come. We can bring back life, however. Developing life-giving churches at the centre of the city involves more than creating irresistible environments marked by excellence and service. Any human industry can accomplish these goals. Life-giving churches are defined by the life of another world, the life and joy they bring to the city. God has promised joy to the world. He's waiting for kingdom servants to drag the promise to the surface. When they show up, there is great joy in the city." Can I encourage you, if you haven't got hold of this book, it is well worth a read because it really challenges how we do church and how we as a church will impact our community. The words of Jeremiah were a challenge to the exiled Jews. They were scattered servants of the Lord who had the challenge to have an impact in Babylon. The words of Alan Scott are a challenge to us on the Ramsden Estate. But as a leadership team, we felt called to develop ministries, yes, over the past years, but especially over the past year or so, seeking the welfare of the Ramsden Estate community. on the back of the Job Club, Pulse, and all the other activities that we did, if you like, prior to 2020. And then especially the community fridge over the last year, which has linked us to well over 100 households on the estate. Over the next year, we are aiming to launch three new community initiatives, namely the community garden, the Get Active Community Gym, and a CAP, a Christians Against Poverty Life Skills course. And I've asked someone involved in the initial leadership of each of these initiatives to share their vision for what it can, how it can serve the Ramsden Estate community.
I'm Alison, and I'm looking forward to starting to run the Life Skills course here at Unity Church. So the Life Skills course is kind of about how to live your life well on a budget. So it's about talking about dealing with the pressures that you feel to buy things and how you can resist those pressures, how you can shop on a budget, how you can control the energy bills within your house, how you can cook on a budget. But it's also about relationships and how you can stop stress getting into your relationships and spoiling the way that you are with people in your household and with your friends. So it's kind of a teaching thing, but it's really more than that. It's like a more of a cooperation thing where people will have their own tips and advice and wisdom from their own lives to share. So what really I'm hoping is that, as well as picking up tips on how to live life well, it will be a community building project. It will be an opportunity for people to get to know each other on a bit deeper level. And it will be the beginning of what we're hoping to see on the Ramsden here, where the real community is built, and where we're actually beginning to transform society. So it's a very ambitious project, but with God, everything is possible. I really appreciate your prayers for it.
Hey guys, what's up? Massimo Massaro here of Unity Church and of conditionedfitness.co.uk. I was formerly a personal trainer in the City of London, but as the coronavirus came around, it impacted the business as well, and they were forced to shut on the 23rd of March. From that moment, I was working on my drive and building a small business at home, and I was looking for somewhere to work from indoors as the winter approached, when I spoke to Mr. Morton, and it was put to me to maybe use the church building as a convenient place to work from. And that's now impacted where we are today, and where my heart's going for the community and the residents of the Ramsden, and how we're going to build a health and fitness centre to impact their lives for the present day and going forward beyond the COVID. So what we've done is we've built a studio here in the heart of the church, and we're going to turn it round so it's double use for Sunday mornings and for weekday exercise for the youth and for the older adults of the Ramsden. So we look forward to seeing you here and hopefully using it alongside me, we can get some help and advice in your training. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bridget, and I'm part of the Ramsden community. I live here, have done for 16 years. I also work at Midfield Primary School and became involved in the community fridge when the first lockdown happened a year ago. And in that way got to know a lot of the members of the community and realised quite quickly that there was nothing outside the church that actually acted as a meeting place, a place that intergenerational children, adults could all mix and meet, and just for reflection or for work. And I realised this need also at Midfield Primary School 7 years ago. Established a really actively working edible eco garden involving the parents, the grandparents and children from the age of five right through to our year sixes, and grew vegetables. The children learned about growing the vegetables, cooking the vegetables, eating the vegetables and actually selling the vegetables on our market stall. And it's still active and running today. We were about to put in our spring vegetables. So I won't be running the project because I work full time, but I know that Dave, obviously, Val and Phil and Alison and Kev have shown great interest in leading on this. I obviously will help weekends or holidays when I can, But very pleased to say that we've got funding from Clarion Housing, who own most of the estate. They've given us a starter of £2,500 to get the raised beds, to get the tools, and not just the gardening, but also DIY and dig it, is what we hope to call it, so that the children and the adults can teach and share skills that perhaps we don't realise they have, or learn new skills if they haven't got them, tool use that will then be relevant later on in life. So I'm really excited. Everybody's asking when it's going to start. I don't think we're going to have any problems recruiting keen participants. So watch this space.
God scattered his people and servants in Jeremiah's time to demonstrate his love in action in new communities in Babylon and beyond. And he gave his exiles a promise in verse 11, the more familiar verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." In the same way, as Alan Scott says, it's time for us to move beyond the church building and our Sunday meetings. It's time for a movement of people empowered by the Holy Spirit and sent to bring life to the Ramsden Estate and beyond. It's time for us to be scattered servants. And I remind you that the Ramsden Estate needs more than bigger churches. The Ramsden Estate needs more than better services. The Ramsden Estate needs more than a new reality, an alternative story. The Ramsden Estate doesn't just need culturally relevant churches. The Ramsden Estate needs the church to show up beyond its building. The Ramsden Estate needs tender hearts who show up with love and grace. The challenge for us as we put this value into operation is, are we prepared to be those scattered servants, seeking out opportunities to love and to serve those in the Ramsden Estate and our surrounding community, and enjoy the challenge and exciting plans that God has for us, plans to give us a future and a hope that truly is exciting and for his glory.